Okay, good morning. I would like to talk about a scientific exchange program that a group of us went on. And this was an interesting trip that we were able to take to China to see some of the tea production industries. And the authors basically are the group that constituted the team. As has already been mentioned this morning, we were looking at Camellia sinensis, and I think a lot of people don't realize that all of the different kinds of tea that we have with different processing and that sort of thing basically come from the same species. A little bit of background on U.S. tea consumption. We are the number two largest tea importing country. We've had a six-fold increase in this value over the last decade. Most of it is black tea, and most of it is consumed as iced tea. We see some market trends over the last few years of increase in bottled tea, green tea, loose tea, and a decrease in bag tea. And as mentioned earlier, we do have small production in the U.S., and many of the locations were showed in an earlier presentation. I also want to, you'll see the LSU Ag Center down here. I have shamelessly borrowed slides from Dr. Chen, and who's also an author on the presentation. So you'll see that you'll see those logos on there every once in a while on these. Okay. This is the team, the authors, and also John Chang of the Ministry of Agriculture in China was our tour guide and kept everything moving for us. This trip was authorized through the Scientific Cooperative Exchange Program with the USDA Foreign Ag Service, and they support collaborative relationships between teams of scientific and technical experts here and in the People's Republic of China. I do want to express appreciation to this program because this is a really awesome opportunity, and if you do get an opportunity to do something like this, I think it's something very much worth pursuing. A little bit of a comparison between the U.S. and China. You can see the map showing the contiguous United States as compared to a map of China. Of course, there's a billion more people in China. The percent of the population involved in agriculture is much higher than it is here, and the average farm size is much smaller. Also, the tea production in the U.S. is, of course, very small, but in China, it's the third tea exporting country after Kenya and Sri Lanka, so one of the biggest producers in the world for tea. We spent 12 days in four cities, started out in Beijing, visiting with the Ministry of Agriculture. We went on to Wuhan and Hubei province, where we saw the Hubei, went to the Fruit and Tea Research Institute there. We also went to Hangzhou with the Shuicheng University Tea Research Institute. They have a Department of Tea Science. There's also the Chinese Academy of Agriculture Tea Research Institute there and the Agriculture and Forestry University. And then we also went to Shanghai to see one of the largest tea markets in China. This just is to show you a map of where we've visited: Beijing, Wuhan, Hangzhou, and on up to Shanghai at the end of the trip. When we started out in Beijing, visiting with the Ministry of Agriculture, the extension, some of the extension leaders in the country, there were many issues that came up. Increasing labor costs in China. There's a lot of production moving west to areas like Africa. Mechanical harvesting was a huge concern because many of the farms are still located in areas at higher altitudes with 15 to 45% slope, which precludes mechanical harvesting. There is still a lot of hand plucking for especially some of the name brands, and also there is a rising specialty tea market in China as there is in the United States, and of course this hand plucking is part of that whole concept of high value specialty teas. Quality and food safety was a big challenge, especially for exporting to the European Union. Weed management was a huge issue, as it is all over the world for most crops, but in tea it is a big problem, especially for organic production. Prices are still very low, but one thing that was interesting is generally in most processing area or production areas of the world, processing is mostly mechanized, and that is to a high degree in China as well. Just as a sidebar on the mechanization part of it, I was able to stop in Japan on my way to China, and they, of course, are very highly developed in their mechanized harvesting in Japan. And this is what the fields look like there. You can see that these have been recently harvested and pruned to keep them ready for harvesting. I did not get a picture of the big field machines that they use, but this is one of the handheld devices that they also use. But the point being is that a lot of this mechanical harvesting equipment is produced in Japan. A lot of it is now that these companies are moving into China and they are selling their equipment in China for use there. One of the next stops we went on was to the Hubei Academy of Agricultural Sciences, and we went to one of their research centers where they are growing a tremendous number of rooted cuttings. They had over a billion rooted cuttings in some very nice facilities that they were rooting. And I think a lot of this was to accomplish several things. First of all, they do a lot of cultural management work there in support of growers. There's a very huge part of the Chinese industry in Hubei province, and so they're growing these cuttings to give to farmers to support their production. I wasn't completely clear about whether this was for new plantings or to replace old plantings. In some cases, I suspect it's new plantings that would be in areas where you could do the mechanical harvesting. They also are actively introducing new cultivars, and they had a couple of new ones that they shared with us, and we got to do a tasting of those. They also have an extensive germplasm collection, and they're creating a big database with DNA and other cultural characteristics that can be used by growers and for tea improvement. We then moved on to the beautiful city of Hangzhou. This is Westlake, is that, that's correct, right? Okay, good. There's an East Lake, and I keep getting those mixed up, but this is Westlake. So anyway, very beautiful place. We started out by visiting the National Tea Museum and learned about the presence of tea and cultivation of tea for thousands of years in China. And we also went to the Dongqing Tea Production Valley, which was a really fascinating place where you actually see tea on the mountains, which is kind of how we all imagine it to be in China, I think. And it was very interesting to see this community of families that grow tea up in this mountain. And not only do they harvest, and this is a perfect example of the specialty teas that are being produced in China now. And they basically go out and harvest these tea on the plants that you'll see down in here on the mountain. But also, they have developed the idea of agritourism there. Folks from the cities will come out and stay in a bed and breakfast out in the valley. They get to go out and help harvest the tea, help do various cultivation things. So I'm sure they have a lot of tea tastings and that sort of thing, so that they pay money to go have this experience. And from what we could tell in doing the exchange rate and everything, these folks are making a very nice living, even by U.S. standards, as I recall. So. Also there, we were at the Academy of Agricultural Science Tea Research Institute. They have a huge germplasm collection with hundreds of nationally registered cultivars and hundreds of accessions that they have. We were also out at the Chinese Academy Tea Research Institute, and they had additional collections to look at. You can see the difference, especially on the bottom left in the middle. You've got different leaf shapes, different amounts of flowering. You've got different heights of the plants and this sort of thing. So there's really a lot of variability in the way these things grow. Also in the difference of the foliage, which even has potential ornamental use. But also I find very interesting the purple leaf varieties that we saw because they reportedly have a lot of high temperature tolerance. Also at the university there, they have a tea department, tea research department. And there are students there studying the tea ceremony, and we saw them doing their different ceremonies for the different types of tea and the different accoutrements you can see in the bottom that are used for the tea ceremonies itself. We also looked at the sensory quality of tea, and you can see on the left where we had all of the different types of teas, and then in the center here the different liquors that are produced from the tea. And, of course, the tasting and everything that is kind of standardized for evaluating these as hot teas. And finally, when we got to Shanghai, a little bit about the tea market in China. You'll see the different types of tea that are produced in China here. They call it red tea. We call it black. But the green, the oolong, the black, what they call black teas are the pu'er and brick teas, and white and yellow. They've got a lot of name brand loose tea as the major type, and they don't very small bagged tea market. But anyway, there were over 300 shops in this particular market, and every one of them was just eye candy, especially for somebody who likes tea. So anyway, you can see we're taking lots of pictures. Here's just more pictures of all the different products that they have, all the different types of teas they had out in bins so that you could inspect them, and also, of course, do tea tastings. More bins. They sold the teapots to go along with them. These are the beautiful little purple tea pots that are from a special province, special place in China. And then, of course, the tasting. And you do the tasting, and eventually you get very high on caffeine. We call it tea drunk, and that's when you get your wallets out and start buying things. So anyway, a good time was had by all on that. We also experienced tea culture. This was a tea dinner that we had in Shanghai. You can see all the different snacks and everything that go along with it. And also at this location, they had these nice little nooks where you could come in and do tea tastings as a leisure activity. And there were even rooms that you could rent where you could sit and drink tea with friends and play games and spend an evening enjoying your tea experience. So anyway, I wanted to leave some final thoughts with you about some of the things that we learned and how we think it's going to have some kind of an impact on the development of the specialty tea market in the United States. First of all, we have increasing tea consumption. Cultural management for production of the plants is going to be very important, with weed control being a huge issue. The need for mechanization of harvest, especially processing, is something that's very common in the world that needs to be considered if you're going to participate in this industry. Cultivar selection and location of growing is going to be important, though what we're also finding out is that the processing that is done can influence the final quality of the tea that you get no matter what location or variety you're growing. You have to optimize that for those different locations in the United States that you're going to grow tea. Development of tea culture, I think, is something that is increasing and goes along with the marketing. I think this is going to be very important in talking about specialty teas, and also the idea of agritourism, which a lot of these tea producers that we see coming into the United States are already talking about, having people come to their nursery and that sort of thing, and using that as an additional stream of income. So the food was a lot of fun. What was even more fun was watching Yen and Dongling enjoy the comfort foods of home. And we also got to go to McDonald's every once in a while, or Kentucky Fried Chicken, to give us a little bit of comfort food. So, but anyway, we enjoyed it a lot. So do we have time for questions?
Yes, we have 3 minutes.
Yes. Well, right now there's a lot of people in the southeastern U.S. growing teas, and I think there's a lot of potential there. There's a lot of success by the Great Mississippi Tea Company, for example, in Mississippi. Hawaii, there's several growers there, and their particular microclimates and everything seem to be very amenable to that. And there are other places where they're trying. I think part of it is finding the right microclimate, the combination of soils and, you know, some rock moderate climate or whatever. I'm located in Texas, and I'm kind of thinking that may be the western edge. I mean, East Texas. And that may be kind of the western edge where you could do it in the southeastern U.S.
So you're looking for something that's at least somewhat humid and not freezing?
They can take quite a bit of cold temperature if they are established plants. One of the big things is acid soils for adaptability. Is there another question?
It's more of a marketing question. I guess, is there a reasonable, it's kind of a global one, has there been interest in the purchasers for tea produced in the U.S.? Is that, for the companies that are going to be buying it, is that a reasonably strong
I think that's something that probably would require more development. I think you're seeing the stronger demand being pulled through from consumers. Do you guys have a comment about that?
Well, I'll say a couple of words. Our current tea growers, the commercial growers, they're doing their marketing at using different business models. As we see, the Great Mississippi Tea Company, they are doing a high-end, high-scale restaurant specialty tea. It's offered as a tea cocktail mixed with other flavors at high-end restaurants, and they have a broker, the Cultured Cup, located in Las Vegas and also Dallas, to do their marketing. So they sold out. Yes, they sold out directly to one broker. And the J&D Blueberry Tea Farm over Poplarville, they sell at local markets, like fresh markets, just local grocery stores. They give them the wholesale price. They sell the retail price. They are more geared toward the supermarket, the 90% of the population that will drink, 80% of the population that will drink black tea. So it's basically 20 black tea in a tin. Yeah, so but they do have green, early gray, and black, different varieties. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.